But when they named this man Battle, they hit it on the nose. Hallelujah, for he lives up to his name. Let's say God bless Brother Battle three times strong. God bless Brother Battle. God bless Brother Battle. God bless Brother Battle. Glory.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Years ago, in Fraser Park, Massachusetts, and Arkansas met. And there was a union forged there that has lasted through all these years, and it was a good union. And Brother Dominguez, I stood out on the mountainside, and we talked for hours. His wife was not yet saved, and there was a friendship forged that has endured and lasted. And it was that's the reason I'm preaching this afternoon, because of that friendship, not because of preaching ability. I can assure you that. Because of our friendship. And he came down to Ecuador and visited me, and I took him to some places, and that time he was fighting a missionary call. But later he succumbed to the call and went to Portugal and gave some years of his life, and he's back here now. So I appreciate the opportunity this afternoon. I was looking over the congregation, so many precious memories to so many of you, not only as friends, but I've been in your homes, been in your churches, and you've been so nice and so kind to me, and I've always just been a pastor. And the brother said, so much for my one key of playing. I said, well, I'm going to preach in my one key this afternoon then. So this might be a low key. I don't know what it is, but I look at Brother Barkley, and he and I came up in the same section, and we used to go to fellowship meetings and localized and preach. Never got to testify. No recognition at all in those days. And we're so hungry to preach, we'd do anything to get to preach. And well, I done scratched all my itches I ever had, where that goes. I was looking at Brother Buxton, and he may never remember it, but I can still remember a time in Niles Street, the back of the church, him shouting, dancing up and down in the back of a folding chair. And last night, as Brother McNeely preached, I felt the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to head out down the aisle, and I rejected it for just a moment, and then it left me, and then it was hard to get going. But I hope I never get to where I can't feel God. And I don't believe it's a sign of spiritual immaturity to worship God, to run the aisles and shout and worship Him. And I have been disturbed in my soul the last 3 days, and some of my congregation knows it. I preached Sunday night, and I preached on how to be saved, and then I paraphrased it and brought it around on how to stay saved. And there's a message building my soul, and before it's all over with, in the next week or two, I'm going to deliver myself. But I believe the church is in perilous times. Brother mentioned materialism, and the lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. And there are some things we have a responsibility to our families to teach them what is the most important thing in their life. And I realize that it's hard to touch some people. But I pray that the Holy Ghost will touch them. But that's not what I came to preach about this afternoon. I asked to be last for a purpose. I got here late. These brethren have been here the whole camp meeting. They're prayed up. I got all the fire already, and I just got here yesterday. And they're speaking about a starter last night. And in Spanish, you call it an arranque. Only in Uruguay, we call it a burro, because sometimes a burro don't want to work, and it's a hard-headed. I didn't want to be a starter, but I kind of wanted to be a finisher this afternoon. Brother Holt told me years ago about old Brother Ivy. You remember him camp meeting days? He said, down in Louisiana, they called Brother Ivy up, neighboring pastor, and said, Brother Ivy, said, would you come over and hold me a revival? Said, I've got a real revival spirit going in my church. He said, well, sure, brother, I'll come over and help you. And he told this on himself. He said, bless God. He said, I went over there and I preached 2 weeks and I killed that revival deader than a doornail. So I told him, brother, I said, you let me last and I'll kill that camp meeting deader than a doornail. I'll finish it off. But there's a lot of good things. I wish the Lord had called me to preach one of these days. I'd really enjoy preaching like some of these brethren. But I'm going to talk like I feel like. That's what this brother did and this brother done, and I'm going to do it, and I may never get another opportunity because they won't ask Brother Dominguez to ask us to preach again. But I love the Western District. I love what it has stood for all these years. And I have traveled around the country, and I also am aware of some situations that are existing in United Pentecostal Church. And I can live with those conditions as long as it's Tennessee or someplace back there. But I am disturbed about some conditions that are beginning to encroach into our own fellowship here in the Pentecostal Church in the Western District. And I don't know whether I can live with that or not. I have been taught some things from the very time that I come into this church that are still real to me and are still just as vital. I did not come by the way of the Assembly of God Church or by the way of the Four Square Church like Brother Robert Bagland. And this all started when I was down with him in Smogville some time ago. And he began to tell me some things. Sister Martinez and Chula Vista told me that right now we're at the point to where they were when they come out of certain organizations. And I don't want to go like those other organizations went. I want us to stay as a clean, united Pentecostal church, and that our men work together and that we have a unified standard of a sort or somehow that we can present a unified front to this great district and where you and I live. So I just preached to my church, so I'm gonna preach this like you're my church this afternoon. If I say anything, it's a pastoral statement, and you can take it or reject it as people do in your church. And everybody doesn't receive everything that you preach all the time. I realize that. Camp meeting's very hard to inspire people. Preachers are the hardest people in the world to get to shout. But when we preach, we want people to shout. But it's hard to get people to, in a camp meeting, perhaps to respond like in your own local church. But not all of this is original. I have borrowed it from some places, but in the book of Revelation, the brother started it off, and I had already thought about this, but in the first chapter in the 12th verse, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, I don't know whether I'm funny ever or not, whether I ever have been preaching or whether I am funny when I'm not preaching, but I don't want to try to be funny this afternoon. I want to try to convey to you what I feel on my heart. And my text relates to the vision of Patmos. And here the servant of God was shown a wonderful thing. He was taken down through the vista of time and given a revelation of the things that were to come to pass upon the earth. And he saw you and I this afternoon here in Santa Maria in this camp meeting and saw perhaps some of the trends that are taking place. And he beheld all the things that were going to happen, the termination of time, the end of the world, and the erection of judgment and the everlasting destiny and the judgment of man. He saw all those things, right down to where you and I are today. As I said, I did not come in by the route of the Assembly of God or by the Church of God or any Trinitarian movement. I came by the route of atheism. Now, I still remember the very first time that I went to a Pentecostal church. My wife had begged me for a long time to go, but I would not go. But finally, because of some music that I wanted to hear played, I said, I'll go to that church. But I don't want any of those crazy Pentecostal people coming and talking to me. The moment they do, I'll leave and I'll never go back again. But that very night after that evangelist preached, he came right back to where I was. He stood right in front of me, looked me in the eye and said, friend, I do not want to embarrass you, but I want you to know one thing. I love your soul. And he was so nice to me, I couldn't even get mad at him. And because of that, I began to go back, and I began to feel something that I'd never felt before in my life out in the world. I felt the Spirit of Almighty God, and that's still what we need today, and I need it in my church. We need anointed preaching and the unction of the Holy Ghost and the conviction of sin. And when people come in, they know that we are different. But if we act like the world, look like the world, and so forth, and we're in a worldly, beggarly element, how can we convince them that we have something? I was telling Brother Bagland, I said, Brother Bagland, I had a family. I went to church last Sunday morning. I had to bring my wife over here. But as I went into that assembly, I met one of my families, and I said, what are you doing here? They said, Pastor, we want to see what you do when you go on vacation. And I had to thank God inwardly that I had enough in me to want to go to the house of God. But in talking to the pastor, I said, do you want a big congregation? Go on down to the beach where the rest of them are this morning. Now I'm going to preach this in my own church so you can go tell them if you want to, you that are here, that they're going to hear it again. So, you know, Brother Bagland is only one of them. Well, there's two of them. They're similar in some respects. Yeah, he said, Brother Bassett, we started sending out our tracks, passing out tracks down on the beach, and said our visitation crew picked up 200%. Looking at all them naked women down there, it's easy to pass out tracks. The visitation crew picked up. But what I had to feel in my heart, and I feel this, if you ever had an opportunity and you was on the beach among a bunch of naked women and you found somebody that's hungry, how are you going to witness to them? How are you going to convince them that that's where you ought to be when the service is going on in the house of God? You're telling your children that's more important for them to be on the beach than it is to be in Sunday school and in the house of God. Now, we're responsible, and I'm responsible for my church, so I'm saying that today. But this is a very special church as far as I'm concerned. We're a very special people. Somebody's already brought it out during this meeting. We are a royal priesthood. We're a city that's set up on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. And I believe that the United Pentecostal Church is a thing that's needed for this day and this age. Not the charismatic names the brother already brought out, but we are them. We are the ones that need to hold on to the truth. And I have noticed this. It's not those that come out of other things that begin to get loose. It's those that have been raised in this thing, brought up in this thing. They begin to lose their fear of God, begin to lose some of the virtue they once had. But we that have come out for something else, we want to hold on to something. Hallelujah, I say we want to hold on to something. Brother Ellingsworth came and preached in my church, and he preached it just as hard there as he did here this morning to where you and I are at. I told him, and I said, Brother Ellingsworth, keep on preaching it to me. If I had a message for my elders today, I'd say, preach it to me, elders, like you did years ago. The first time that Sister Battle and I walked into Brother Gray's church in San Diego, not the first time, but we hadn't been there just a very short time. He came to Sister Battle and he said, Sister Battle, I see you have not had any teaching concerning the hair question. She had cut her hair. She had always cut her hair. She had never been taught against it. We had never heard of such a teaching. My pastor, the revival I was saved in, there was 27 baptized the same night I was. He was a wonderful man of God. He used to be in the PJ of AC or whatever it was, PA of JC or something or other. But through some fallings out, he got out and became independent. I could tell you a lot of stories, but we were there 9 months. But I thank God that I came in contact with a pastor that loved my soul. Began to give my wife some teaching, began to give me some teaching. It was hard to get a lot of those things that was ingrained in me out of me. It was years before I got a lot of them out. But every time he'd preach something to me, I'd either reject it or accept it. And I fought with a lot of things, but finally I come around and I tried to line up. And I'm still trying to line up this afternoon, so I want you to preach it to me just as hard as you ever did. If cutting hair was wrong then, it's still wrong today. If long hair on men and boys was wrong then, it's still wrong today. But I went by youth camp, and I was astonished at a lot of those long-haired people that was in that youth camp. I don't know if the pastors are teaching everyone what it is. I don't know what it is, but God, I want to preach it. And somehow help me to preach it and preach it somehow. Let's stand together in this thing. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If we don't stay together, what in the world are we going to do? We're going to become disunified, and we'll have a big mixture on our hands, and we'll become another just amalgamation of every man for his own self and believe what he wants to believe. This was a beautiful church. Those seven Asiatic churches, they're representative of all the two churches today. Golden candlestick having seven branches, in the midst of which appeared the Son of Man, clothed with a garment. And those candlesticks could be rendered lamps, but the metaphors are there just the same. And I want to talk about the metaphors that was employed in this text tonight, or this afternoon. Candlestick was for an express purpose. It was an instrument of light. Brother Backlund made a statement last Sunday morning in his church in Glover City that I have never forgotten. I never heard it like that, but I will never forget it. He said, the more the darkness that the world becomes, the more light that our light shines out. The darker that the world becomes, the more light that we become. And the world is becoming covered with gross darkness. Men's minds are evil continually. The magazines, the everything that you read, everything is contaminated. You can hardly pick up anything that's not contaminated anymore. Look anywhere. The whole world is contaminated. But in the midst of all of that, God has got a church.
I said, God has got a church. He's got somebody that's willing to live it. Somebody that's willing to line up. Somebody that's going to be ready for his coming.
That light is lifted up, the light of the world. The city is set up on the hill that cannot be hid. Now, I'm not going to get on some petty or some little convictions of mine this afternoon. But one of those seven lights on that candlestick was the light of holiness. The word of God is right. Holiness is still right. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And just by holiness, you're going to barely get under the line. You're just going to barely make it. If we do away with holiness, you might as well do away with us. And Brother Backlund, Brother Kenneth told me, and Brother Robert both told me, and I call them by their first name because to differentiate between them. One come out of this, one come out of that. And they said, Brother Battle, we don't want to go back into it. That I've heard this cry from many of the pastors in the Western District. We don't want to go back to what we come out of. I don't either. I come out of gross darkness. I came out of a life that was lost and undone, and I came into something beautiful. And that's why I've always appreciated the Western District. I appreciate our leaders. I appreciate Brother Price. Men, I want you to preach it to me. Camp meeting, tell me like it is. If I don't like it, tell me anyhow. You hear me? Tell me anyhow. You're not going to get me a degree on everything, but I'm going to agree on some of the things. The material of which it was composed is very important to me. As I read this, it was golden. I wonder why didn't they make it out of steel? Why didn't they make it out of iron or some other base material? But it was a golden candlestick. Now, there's some reasons behind this. This implied purity. They tell me there's nothing any more pure than pure gold, that you can see your image reflected in it when it's at its extreme state of purity. But there's something else about it. It's a very scarce metal. You hear me? It's a very scarce metal. And so I feel like tonight, or this I keep saying tonight, this afternoon, that we are not perhaps in the majority. We are perhaps in the minority, but we are it. And I am not prejudiced this afternoon at all. I believe that this is his church. When I was baptized in his name, and he filled me with his spirit, and I cried out, speaking in Czechoslovakian, I well remember the night, Holy Father, Holy Father. And I didn't understand what I was saying, but my pastor was Czechoslovakian. He interpreted for me. I was crying out, Holy Father, Holy Father. And that something happened to me that night that has lasted with me nearly 30 years. The Holy Ghost is still real this afternoon. And now after I got my whipping last night, I said, oh, God, the next time I feel your spirit, let me be inclined to obey you, whatever it is. If it's a spirit, if it's a gift of God, God, let them operate in our midst. If it's a move of God, God, help me to be moved with your spirit. But don't let me just sit there and lose my grip on reality, my grip of the Holy Ghost. It's still real. It's still real. It's still real. Hallelujah. I've read some stories. I read a lot, and I get touched easily. I read about the Hebrew children, Daniel. They still touch me just as much as they ever do. I read them, and I put myself right in the act. I was reading Fox's Book of Martyrs recently, and I realized some of them did not have the truth as you and I have it, but they had a dedication and a consecration. This one man, as they tied him to the stake, they put the faggots beneath him and stacked him up, and they were standing around ridiculing him. He said, this day, you're going to see a sign from God. And they mocked him. They lit the faggots, and the fires licked at his feet, and pretty soon his body juices began to burn. His legs fell into fire, and he just held his arms out into flames, embraced the flames, and his arms fell off also before he expired. And when his bonds burned off, his torso fell face downward. No arms, no legs, just stubs. And those ungodly people were standing around beginning to mock him. And said, where is that sign from God? Now all of a sudden that torso turned over and those stubs lifted heavenward. Hallelujah. They put us through the fire furnace and it didn't burn us. They put us in the lion's den and the lions didn't eat us.
Now, I'm telling you, this church, I'm not a modern-day prophet by no means. But there's something that's going to happen to this church before it's all over with. We're in our prosperity today, but wait until persecution comes. Wait until the world aligns itself against us. Then where will you stand? Will you have enough of God to stand in that day when the dollar dies? Our materialism is gone. Persecution comes. We have to go to the catacombs to worship God. Will we still stand for Him? I want enough of God to keep me this last day. Prosperity can kill you. Lukewarmness can kill you. Persecution can kill you. But if we get a hold of God, He's going to keep me. I thank the Lord today for truth, and I'm closing. I thank the Lord for baptism in Jesus' name. Then filling the Holy Ghost. I've never forgotten it. It's still just as real this afternoon as it was when I was. It took me 3 weeks hard seeking God every night. Now, I used to think if I could just get up on top of the church, get me a ladder and get up on top of, I could get closer to God. I ran the aisles, knocked the benches down, butted my head in the wall, knocked the Sunday school register off, cut all kinds of shenanigans. One night the brethren caught me and held me down long enough God caught up with me and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was wonderful. I said, it's wonderful. Some years ago in Kansas City, I just began to want to go to the mission field. I was sitting in that congregation. Somebody sent word back to me that the missions director felt that a demonstration was a sign of spiritual immaturity. And I had that in me. But up on the platform appeared three men. They began to play. Brother Chuck Gray with his banjo, Brother Carl Denny with his fiddle, and Brother Norman Luna with his mandolin. When they began to play, my mind went back to the revival when I went out to hear them play in that old Pentecostal church back in Arkansas. I could not resist it. It was an uphill climb, but I wasn't as fat as I was now. And I was a little bit younger, but I began to run down the aisle and worship God. And I hope I still don't get to where I can't feel God and worship God. I don't believe, as I said earlier, that it's a sign of spiritual immaturity to worship God. And we can worship Him this afternoon just like we did last night. And if you'll stand and worship Him, I promise you I'll worship God along with you. Hallelujah.